Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 2015. The topic is training, and the title is How to Rehab a Torn Muscle or Torn Tendon. One of my clients is a powerlifter, and he was doing jiu-jitsu. He actually teaches and does jiu-jitsu for the Army. He was wrestling with an opponent and must have gotten into an arm bar, some kind of bad position, and he detached the top of his long head of the bicep muscle. So, super bummer. kicking the pants. So, what he did was he went and got a scan done, confirmed that that was the issue, so he detached the top connection. Now, in power lifting, you don't actually need to repair that. So some surgeons will actually tell you that that surgery isn't necessary. If you were in an aesthetic sport, so bodybuilding, women's physique, men's physique, all classic physique, all those different things, you would want to get the surgery to help maybe, you know, keep the aesthetic appeal of the muscle. When it comes to strength athletes, it's not uncommon for them not to get the surgery, especially if it would have to come out of pocket, because it can be quite a large expense. There's tons and tons of strongmen who will tear that bicep doing like stones or heavy carries, and then they won't get that replaced. Powerlifters, same thing, as they might tear that doing improper technique on a deadlift, maybe the underhand grip of a deadlift, they might get that tear. It's more common, that they won't get the surgery, since the strength of the bicep can still be maintained to a degree that they need for their competition, and the aesthetics of the bicep isn't necessary for their sport. So you'll see some people get surgery, see some people not get the surgery. And what I wanted to do was just talk about how I would approach rehab in this type of situation, whether we're talking about a muscle tear or a tendon tear, whether it's a full tear and you have to get it surgically reattached, or it's a partial tear, and then that's very frustrating because that can be a very lingering, long-term issue. So, as funny as it sounds, sometimes clients have had better experiences when they had a full tear and then just had surgery to reattach it, rather than a partial tear, which can then, you know, be very limiting for a very long period of time. So I've worked with clients who've torn pecs. They've torn the muscle at the base of the tendon where it starts to, the muscle tissue starts to connect to and convert over to like tendon tissue. They'll get a tear right there. Or clients who've had, I have one client had a complete detachment of hamstring muscles on both sides, had to have surgery reattached. We actually still went up and beat a PR they had for squats and deadlifts since before the injury, so that was pretty awesome. And then many other clients who had a lot of different tears and issues. Thankfully, they're not connected with my training, so very grateful for that. Usually, I've gotten them where something like this happens. They're doing something outside of our lifting. Like one client, we were getting ready for a bodybuilding show, and they tore their hamstring because they were racing their niece for her birthday. And I was like, oh man, what are you doing like running? Like, why are you running? You're a bodybuilder, don't run. And then they'll do other things, you know, outside of the gym. Or they'll come to me with the injury because they knew a client of mine and, you know, somebody said, hey, this guy can help you. So I've also worked with people. I had one client, which is one of my favorite stories to talk about in relation to this topic, is they have a degenerative tendon tissue disease, and they were told by their doctor that there's nothing they could really do. They were taking some medication, but it wasn't really doing anything. And the doctor just said, you know, hey, that's life, that's the way it is, you know, be thankful you can still, you know, you're still alive, be thankful you still can do other things, blah blah blah. And this client used to squat and deadlift over 700 pounds, bench over 500 pounds. They were used to being very strong, so they were very frustrated because they were starting to accumulate a lot of injuries where they were getting partial tendon tears and just crazy frustrated. They didn't know how to manage that without causing continued injury, because the muscles were strong enough to lift heavier, but the tendon tissue was not. So they were starting to get more and more tendon tears to the point where they felt like they had to kind of give up on lifting. They were, you know, overeating, depressed, lost a lot of strength, perceptive strength, like their ability to display their strength, and then gained a lot of weight, just really unhappy. So we started working together, and we were actually able to show, they did studies, they went to UNC, University of North Carolina, their medical center, and they were given exams and scans that actually showed we were able to stop the degeneration of the tendon tissue that we were able to isolate in training, and we actually re-thickened. We built the tissue back up, and their doctor had previously said that that would be impossible to do. So very, very, very excited, very cool stuff. I've really enjoyed getting to problem solve in those situations. It's kind of the best of the both worlds is I get to help somebody in need, and that always feels good. And then you get to analyze a weird problem and try to figure out how to solve it. So that's like right in my wheelhouse. Helping people and then getting to do weird stuff. that's awesome. So I wanted to cover today the keys to the approach that we would use if somebody has a torn muscle or torn tendon and what you could do to re-strengthen those. So I've had a couple of injuries myself over the years. I partially tore the tendon in my bicep down at the elbow connection, which is the worst place to tear. But that was a partial tear. I decided not to get surgery because I had no insurance and couldn't afford it at the time. And they were saying, you know, it's kind of like a 50-50 tear. It's not all the way through, but it could be all the way through. It might tear. It might not tear. We don't know what to do. Maybe you could have surgery, but if you can't really afford it, you can maybe get away without it. So I had to do a lot of rehab and to fix that thing, and golly, that took years, but got it fixed. And by years, I mean, I was still able to grow my biceps. I've got my arms to 20 inches, so I was able to still grow. It's just, it was painful during training, just more so than other tissues involved. So I would have to stop bicep curls, not because my muscle tissue fatigued, but because the pain in that tear was so severe, I was like, I'm done. That's enough pain for one set. So I had to learn a lot of training techniques, which one of my favorite techniques I show in my YouTube videos is using a partial range of motion for a bicep curl that emphasizes the top end of the contraction first, actually. So I'll get a huge pump in a top end range of motion stressor type curl. And there's variations of them, but one of my favorite is like a cable curl where I set the pulley height kind of around my chest or belly button height. And then I do a bicep curl from there because the top end of the range of motion is what's maximally loaded. The full extension is actually very minimally loaded. It sounds counterintuitive for muscular growth because people tend to prioritize lengthened positions. However, what I like about it is I can get a huge pump in the muscle and get a degree of pre-fatigue into the tissue. And then I go into a full range of motion movement, such as like a dumbbell curl or a standing easy bar curl or barbell curl. And I don't need as much weight in that movement, which is great because I can't weight it very heavy anyhow because that partial tear, I don't want to like rip it the rest of the way. So I might end up using 30 or 40 pound dumbbells for bicep curls rather than like 50s or 60s. And putting that right after that high-end range of motion, that high pump movement, the prying open of that pump creates tissue stress along with just the 30 or 40 pounds. So I can actually get really good bicep growth by using certain combinations of exercises and pairings. So that's a really cool thing that I was able to learn. And then as I've had clients who've had bicep tears down at the elbow joint, I've been able to show them those techniques and that works really well as well for them. So very cool. I've had my other bicep, poor biceps, I tore at the top trying to pick up an Atlas stone one time when I was underfed, underhydrated, underslept. It was in the midst of 2020 chaos and I just wanted to do it because I was so angry that I hadn't been able to train in a regular way. And frustration was stupid, but I tried to pick up the stone. It was like 300 some pounds, no tacky, no nothing. And I have lifted it before, but I was not training for it at the time, so it's stupid to try it. So I ended up partially tearing that And I've been able to fill that back in quite a bit. However, there is still some deformedness to that muscle. However, I've been able to fill that in quite a bit, and it's definitely repairing. And interestingly enough, that same tactic that I used on my right bicep, I'm using on my left, and it's working great as well. So I've had some chest tears when I was young and dumb and didn't really know good technique. So I had a couple of things myself that I had to work through. And that was helpful to learn, like, firsthand the feelings and experiences that my clients would be going through. Because when you have to train a previously injured and maybe possibly currently injured tissue, there's a lot of uncertainty about what type of pain is okay. If you avoid all pain, you're not going to get any better. There is a degree of rest that a muscle needs when it's freshly injured to manage like inflammation and just to give the body a second to figure out what the hell's going on. And then you start loading the tissue. When I've had tears before and other injuries, I've actually trained the muscle the same day I tore it. And since I know how to do this stuff, meaning in the sense I've never torn the same thing twice. So that's pretty good proof. So anything that's ever been injured has never been injured again. So that's my way of saying, like, I feel confident in that I successfully repaired the tissue, because it's not like it's the seventh time I've torn it and I'm like, well, I fixed it this time. And you're like, not really, if you tore it seven other times, jackass. So everything, thankfully, knock on wood, anything I've ever injured, I haven't injured it twice. So I'll have actually trained very quickly after the injury because I want to promote new proteins getting in there, good blood flow getting in there, and start to flush the area and heal the area, get all the healing kind of mechanisms and materials in there as quickly as I can. Now, that's my preference, but I can understand if people are a little weary about what to do or how to do it, they're not going to all of a sudden start loading that tissue when it's just been injured because they don't want to hurt it worse. But the keys to the approach that we would use to heal these tissues is actually to promote blood flow into the area. And we want to do it at a high frequency, but incredibly low intensity, as if there's basically no intensity. Initially, you're looking for either daily or every other day movement where you want to get blood flow into the tissue, but you're not loading the tissue with anything that feels like there's any degree of risk to it. So as, you know, as goofy as it sounds, just doing your, like, just curling your arm itself for, like, maybe you're going to do four sets of 50 reps. Just stand there, just curl your hand with nothing in it. And that actually starts to promote movement and tissue, gliding, sliding, promotes increased blood flow into that tissue. So you can actually start with something like loaded nothing at all. You could then curl against like a single micro mini band, if you know what that is. Just a light, very light band resistance, maybe like a 2-3 pound of band resistance. Or if you have like little rehab dumbbells, you can buy 1-3 pound dumbbells or a little 2.5 pound weight plate. There's micro gains, like micro plates you can buy off Amazon that are like, you know, 0.5 pound, 1 pound, 1.5 pound, that kind of stuff. But you would use very small resistance, which would be classified as intensity, like weight load. You want to use very, very, very low, absolute minimal intensity, but we're going to do high frequency. And then we also add in longer time under tension efforts. So if the weight load is low, the frequency and time under tension would go sky high to make sure that there's still a degree of stimulus adequate for tissue promotion, tissue adaptation, tissue change. So for example, we might do, one client, they had a meniscus tear. So we were doing belt squat walks, like marches, like march in place. We call them monster walks. But we were doing monster walks. They were doing 5-minute sets. And we started at first with a belt squat empty. I don't even know how much that thing weighs empty, like 20, 30 pounds. So it's their body weight plus 20, 30 pounds. And they were doing 5-minute walks. So they would just stand and kind of march in place for 5 minutes. Then we'd sit for a minute, stand and march in place for 5 minutes, sit for a minute, and then do another 5 minutes. So it's 15 minutes in total. And then we went on and did some other stuff. But that would be the stimulus to start with. And then, you know, maybe next week we just add 5 pounds to the machine. The following week, another 5 pounds. The next week, another 5 pounds. And you just start really slowly adding weight load, adding intensity. But you keep the duration really, really high. So once they were starting to be fatigued for 5 minutes, it's like, okay, let's continue to add weight, but let's only drop to 4 minutes. We're not going to do 3 or 4 weeks at 5 minutes and then all of a sudden do a one rep max. No. There's a nice slow approach to this when you're building tissues and rehabbing tissues. So muscle tissues, they can take a few weeks, whereas like connective tissues can take several months. It wouldn't be uncommon for a connective tissue to take 3 to 6 months to kind of fully heal and feel like pain-free. Muscle tissues, they maybe could take 2 or 3 months, depending on the severity of the tear. So you're looking at like months long, if not up to like a half a year, to rehab and repair things. And that's if everything's going really well, they're eating well, they're sleeping well. So if somebody's kind of, you know, lax, like lazy on their food, not doing great on sleep, they're overly stressed in life, maybe they had some other events happening, it might take even longer due to the recovery capacity decrease from the other factors, other stress factors. So their ability to recover is going to be decreased, so therefore their adaptation response can be decreased from the training. So ideally, we would like them to be sleeping as best as they could, eat as best as they could, manage stress as best as they could, so we can recover as fast as we can. But as fast as we can is still going to be months in most cases. But that's something we would do. I had another client, we did cable chest flies. This was actually the client that had the degenerative tendon tissue disease. We did cable chest flies on a free motion seated chest machine. You could do seated chest flies on that machine very well. And we were doing 3 minute sets. So I put 20 pounds, like the first little weight plate on there, because it starts at 20. And I would say, just do 3 minutes chest flies. And I'd set a timer, wristwatch, you know, and we would talk. I'd use my good old Casio wristwatch from Walmart. But I would just set that timer. We would chit chat, BS a little bit. And he would stay moving the whole time. So he had a really high training experience. He was the one that lifted, you know, over 700 pounds, squat, deadlift, bench over 5. He'd been lifting his whole life. So he could talk to me a little bit, but still pay attention to like what he was doing with flexing and squeezing the muscles. If I had somebody who was newer to this and didn't have that mind-muscle connection, I would have them be quiet so they could actually focus on that. I would be quiet, pretty much is what I'm saying, is I would shut up so they could focus. But we would do 3 minute sets. We would then go do like dumbbell chest presses. And again, 20, 30 pound dumbbells. And this dude could crank out, like previously he crank out 100 pound dumbbells for probably 20, 30 reps. But we're using 20 to 30 pound dumbbells for 3 minutes. So again, really, really, really high time under tension. And I stole that concept from Louis Simmons from Westside Barbell. He used it in variations with different injuries, and he used it with band tensions and stuff. So I just kind of, you know, played with it a bit and kind of built it out from what he was using. But that's where I first learned of the benefit of such long sets, like 3 to 5 minute sets, because then the weight load intensity doesn't have to be high. And since the tissue is damaged, it can't be high. So how can you actually still get at positive adaptation is you have to go higher with the time under tension than you would probably typically even think to do. Louis said he would even do 8 minute sets or 10 minute sets for people on the belt squat for various injuries like ankle, knee, or hip injuries. So they would sit there and maybe hold like a med ball, like a 20 pound med ball. They'd have the belt squat attached to them, which might be 20, 30 pounds, and they just walk for 10 minutes. And that would be horrendous, by the way. So good on those athletes for doing that. But that was where I kind of got that concept from and then kind of played with it and built on that. And then that client, like we said, we were actually able to show in scans that we were able to thicken the tissue. So it definitely worked. But that's the start to the approach, is promoting blood flow in the area by doing daily or every other day movement. You want the tissue might feel sore when you move it that often, but it doesn't feel like you're going to tear anything. So if I'm just curling my arm for 4 sets of 50, I'm not going to tear my bicep muscle, so I don't have to worry about that. Even if I'm holding a 1 pound weight plate, And eventually, if I do that for a week, if I then hold a 2-pound weight plate, I'm not afraid I'm going to tear my bicep against a 2-pound weight plate. So you're staying with weight loads that are so ridiculously light that you don't have to fear increased injury. It is going to feel sore. There's going to be some burning sensation in the muscles, but you're not afraid of tearing the tissue anymore. So we want that little bit of burn. We want that movement. We want that stimulus, because that's going to promote new proteins getting in there. And it's actually going to kind of, there's not a scientific way to say this, but it's going to remind the body that that tissue is injured. Our body will heal tissues only to the degree in which the demand is met. So the demand that you place on a tissue is what the body will heal that tissue to. So if you avoid loading it, if you avoid really stressing it, the body will heal it to being able to manage everyday activities, but not above that. Your body will not invest the resources to make your bicep be able to curl 200 pounds if the heaviest thing you're lifting is a 5-pound thing around the house. It'll just get you to 5 pounds and it'll stop. So you have to continuously remind the body that, hey, this tissue is still weakened compared to where we want it. So I'm going to continue to ask more of that tissue, so the body continues to feel a need to strengthen and grow that tissue. So again, you can't avoid stimulating the tissue, because it's the stimulation that tells the body how strong you need it to be. How strong do you want that tissue to be? You have to continue to challenge the body and say, hey, it's not good enough yet. Hey, it's not good enough yet. And do that daily or every other day. And eventually, like when you're doing that long enough, and like the soreness you'll start to notice is, okay, I did this yesterday. It's still really sore today. It actually kind of feels a little bit weakened. Like, I don't know if it's really ready for this. So you start extending it to every other day. And then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, man, geez, I did it on Monday, it's Wednesday, and it's still really sore. So you might all of a sudden start to extend to Thursday, Monday to Thursday. Now it's twice a week. So eventually you get it built back up to where it would be a typical training frequency anyhow. But that's kind of the balance you want to play, is it's going to feel sore, yes. But you want to use a weight load low enough that there's no tear risk, but a time under tension range high enough that it still creates an adaptation, like a stressor response that the body has to adapt to. So that's kind of a challenging balance, but that is the balance that we play. The idea is we want to stimulate repair. We're not stressing the tissue into repair. We're stimulating repair. There's a little bit of a difference there compared to like a typical way of training muscles. Typically, we beat up a muscle bad enough that the body feels, oh crap, you know, that muscle's really at risk. I need to make that stronger. We're not trying to do that with an injured tissue. We're just trying to tell the body, hey, this thing's still injured. I still want you to kind of work on this a little bit. So we're stimulating adaptation. We're not forcing it with like stress load and intensity. There you go. Then when we choose exercise selection, I'm going to use mixture of compound and isolation movements. We're not going to shy away from isolations. We're just going to be very careful with how we load them. And then the same thing with compound movements that still include the injured tissue. You have to be careful. You cannot load that movement to the strongest muscles. You have to load that movement to the weakest muscle. We have to know that the weakest link in the chain will snap first. So the client that had the chest injury, like the connective tendon degenerative issue, he could dumbbell press. I mean, we had dumbbells that went up to 150, actually 170 in the gym. He could press them if he wanted to. Tendons, no, but his muscles, yes. So what we got to doing was I'd have him do event, like we started with 3-minute sets at 20-pound dumbbells, 3-minute sets at 30, 3 minutes at 40. And then when we got around 50, we started dropping it down to 2 minutes. He did 2 minutes at 50s and 60s. And then we did 1-minute sets at 70s. And that was pretty much where we kind of hovered, was 70 and 80 pounds. And he was doing that for like 1-minute sets. So you tell he's a very strong human being. But that was enough that we were seeing positive adaptation. He was feeling stronger in everyday movements. He was feeling stronger in other things. He was seeing positive tissue growth in the scans that we were getting done, we didn't need to move further, so we just didn't. We're not trying to set PRs for the sake of a PR. We're trying to stimulate adaptation, and we were getting confirmation that adaptation was happening. That's it. Good. Game done. That's where we're staying. So that was the approach is he could use compound movements. Like he can do dumbbell presses with 70s. He's not going to be doing dumbbell flies with 70s, right? So you can do compound movements heavier, but you still have to do them under caution and still doing them knowing that the weak link is being stimulated. So you have to be very careful about how quickly you make jumps. One of the things that really helps control clients is that time under tension. Because very quickly they want to start cranking out sets of 5 or sets of 10, and all of a sudden a set of 5 takes like 5 seconds. And it's like, no, that is way too heavy, way too high of a risk. So instead, we'll have those time under tension controls, and maybe the lowest we go is like 30 seconds of tension in part of like the rehab-y stuff, rehab program. Eventually, you know, the idea is to let the tissues go and just treat them like they used to be treated in regards to just letting them max out. But that takes time. So in the process, though, to not be too rushed, not get there too early, we use those time under tension controls. You do a couple weeks of 3 minutes, couple weeks of 2 minutes, couple weeks at 1 minute. You know, you wait till you max those out before you then move to the next one, and that forces you to be more patient. Another tip, the last one we have is like kind of specific tips, is to train healthy tissues to their abilities. So if you have a bicep injury, your legs are fine. So you can still do really well with leg movements, assuming that you're not cranking down on the handle, trying to hold the handle of the machine with your bicep. So I actually watched a YouTube video where it was Juju Mufu. If you don't know who that is, you'd have no clue what I just said. But he's a guy who has a really awesome YouTube channel. He trains with a lot of different people under a lot of different training modalities. So it's really fun to learn from him, Juju Mufu. Now, he was training with Mike Bartos of Bartos Power Center. He makes like strongman type equipment. And they were doing a standing leg press. And Mike said that he felt like his biceps start to tear during the standing leg press because he was cranking on the handle so hard. So you do have to be careful of stuff like that, is if the injured tissue is part of the support for the main movement, you got to be more careful. But if you're doing, you know, say a seated leg press and it's maybe a selectorized version and you don't have to hold on to it, then you can go crazy with that and have a little more fun. Maybe you're doing a seated hamstring curl where you don't have to curl. You actually push against the thigh pad support. So that's not a bicep stimulator. So you can find ways to train healthy muscles where if the injured tissue, a goal is to have the injured tissue not be involved. So for example, if we have the bicep tear, are we going to be doing low bar back squats? Probably not. Because that creates that external rotational stretch and tension in the bicep. So we might switch to a safety squat bar, but not hold on to the damn handles and crank and move the bar around. So I might have him try like a no-handed safety squat bar squats, which I've done before, and they're actually fantastic as a general challenge for thoracic strength. So that's actually one of my favorite ways to use the safety squat bar, is actually without any hands, because then I can't manipulate the tilt of the bar or the weight of the bar. So you'll see people do that all the time, which is not good. You're not supposed to like drive, you're not supposed to do a shoulder press of the safety squat bar on your way up in squats. That negates the point of the thoracic challenge of the bar. So I'll have like somebody do like a no-handed box squat with the safety squat bar. That's a great way to still stimulate the legs, the core, whole lot of stuff, but not really tick off the bicep. So it depends on what is injured, but you would try to avoid the injured tissue. And if you can train other muscles without the injured tissue being involved in the stability, then you would still train those tissues to the max of their ability. So you want to keep your strong things strong as you're trying to strengthen the weak thing. That's a big benefit, because then you're not going to lose a lot of stabilization and core-based strength while you're waiting for the weak thing to heal. So sometimes that will happen when people have an injury, is they baby the injury, that takes forever. They lose abdominal strength, they lose lower back strength, they lose CNS tolerance on heavy weight load. So they really reduce their overall capacity for work because they stopped keeping their strong things strong. So we do want to focus on that. So in general, when we're looking at how to rehab a torn muscle or torn tendon, is we're looking for high frequency, low intensity. Do it pretty often, a lot of time under tension, but very minimal, if any, weight loads initially. And then slowly, you start trading weight load for time under tension. And the other kind of general thing is it's daily attention with a long-term mindset. So you're going to do something every damn day, whether that's eating well, sleeping well, stress management, or actually doing some training that day. You're doing something every single day to get better. But this is a months-long approach. That can be very challenging for people, is to say, okay, every single day I'm accountable, but I'm not going to see anything for this for a while. That can be frustrating, but that's why it's good to have a program. It's good to have a coach, good to have accountability partners. It's good to use physical therapy if you get offered that, depending on the type of injury it is. It's just good to have some sense of security in knowing that there's a plan, there's an approach that you're systematically accounting for, rather than you're just kind of making it up as you go. You're going to start to load the tissue way too heavy, way too early. Everyone does that. So, or the counterpoint is, you know, somebody, you're talking to somebody in their mid-40s, and they're like, yeah, I hurt my back when I was 20, and I never lifted weights since. Oh, that's sad and depressing. So I had a client one time, they hurt their back doing a wakeboarding. In their 20s, their doctor told them never to weight train because weight training would be bad. They came to me, I think, at 47 or 48 and said, you know, dude, I haven't lifted anything in 20-some years. I'm overweight. I'm unhealthy. I'm unhappy. And then their 50th birthday, we had them deadlift 500 pounds. So pretty badass. And we said, screw you to that old doctor. And now they've been lifting weights ever since, and they feel a million times better. So it's really just trying to do this in an intelligent, long-term way, but understanding that it requires daily activities, daily attention. Okay, hopefully this was helpful just to hear kind of the general concepts of the approach. If you have any questions, if you need anything, reach out. I'll help you create a program like this, and we can either work together or I can help you create it, and then you can kind of go with it on your own. But if you're interested in any help, you can find out more about those services on our website, www.brutalirongym.com. I'd always be able to help. I'd be happy to help no matter what your needs are. Okay, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. The more people we share it with, the more people we can help. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. And then if you like the information we share in the podcast, we do share more information and other type of information on our social media accounts on Instagram and YouTube. So you can find us and please follow us on those channels under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful and thank you for listening.